shall we pray together? Our Father and our God, we are grateful to you this morning for your love and your faithfulness. We thank you for what you are doing in our midst. Thank you for your word that is coming to us in a very clear manner. As we turn to your word again this morning, we ask that you will speak clearly to us. As you keep announcing to us that there's a new dawn, show us what to do, show us how to respond, show us how to maximize the opportunities that this day brings to us. Show us how to walk with you. Holy Spirit, we ask that even this day, you will shine the light on our path and you will cause us to move in the light of your will. Thank you, Father. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. We thank God for the privilege again of coming to press on where we stopped yesterday. And the things that God had begun to say to us and the way he has begun to speak to our hearts. We saw that when it is the new dawn, when God said it is new dawn, that means it's a time, it's a new day break. It's a time when God wants to manifest himself and manifest his glory and manifest his power. I ended yesterday by noting that when God had brought Jacob to the place of emptying, the place of brokenness, the place where the old nature of his life had been evacuated, when God had brought him to that place, the Bible said the sun rose upon him. As he passed Peniel, the Bible said the sun rose upon him. Even though he was leaning upon his staff, was limping, yet God's glory, God's power, God's light has now come upon him. And today we are going to go ahead now and pick what must we do when you begin to realize that now something God has spoken about is beginning to happen. What do you do about that? Again, I'm going to take an illustration from the life and the response of the apostles on the day of Pentecost. I gave an illustration about how Jesus Christ, when he came on that day, he said, this day, this gospel, I mean, this scripture is being fulfilled in your very ears. But now let's look at how the apostles responded in order to guide our own heart. What do we do now that it is the day, now that God is giving us a new dawn? We're going to pick some of those issues. But before we go to the Acts of Apostles, we're going to read some scriptures together. I want you to turn your Bible to Psalm 102. We read Psalm 102. And I want you to please pick verse 13. Psalm 102, verse 13. He said, thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time has come. Thou shalt arise and favor and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. So what we are noting is that there is a set time, and when that set time comes, the Lord will arise and have mercy upon Zion. The time to favor her, the set time. So when we are talking about time, when we are talking about the new dawn, we are walking in terms of when God has now decided to arise upon our lives. Now, I want you to follow me. We're going to read the book of Acts, chapter 2. We'll pick it from there, and then we'll come back to now look at what should be our own response. Acts chapter 2. I want you to look at Acts chapter 2. There are just some few things we want to pick there. The story of the brethren in the Acts of Apostles is something that we cannot finish studying at a point. I mean, at one time like this, but it's very important for us to take note of that. Now, you notice that in chapter 1, the Lord Jesus told them to wait. He was telling them to wait for that day when God will come upon them. He told them, say, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost, or after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So he asked them to wait. In Luke 24, he told them to wait. To wait until they are endued with power from on high. It is of no particular use to keep doing things when the Lord himself has not arisen to work. When God has not stood up to work, whatever you are trying to do will only be a labor in futility. So he told them to wait. Now we are coming to look at what happened in the time of their waiting. They were sorting themselves out. They were correcting issues in their midst. They replaced Judas Iscariot. And then they were praying. They were all with one accord. And they were waiting on God and praying. So chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And now hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born, Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea, and Cappadocia, in Pontus and in Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt and in the parts of Libya, about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed, and they were in doubt, saying to one another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. So I want you to note verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said to them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken unto my words. For these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Let me stop at that so that we can point the issues out. What do we do at the new dawn? What do we do at the new dawn? How do we respond to the new dawn so that it is not wasted, it is not dissipated, it does not end in ordinary noise? What do we do? What to do with the new dawn? Now, in this chapter, which is an illustration we are going to take, we're going to take one or two of such illustrations before we go to our own response. Now, we're told that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, now that meant that there is a time. There was a point when it was not fully come. There was a point at which it was not yet the day. And they were all waiting and praying. And they were doing the needful. They were preparing themselves, looking in anticipation for that day. But then the Bible says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were with one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, what is the first issue that I want to note there before we go ahead to what do we do at the new dawn? What must be our response at the new dawn? The first thing I want you to note from the beginning of that passage is that there is a day. And we kept saying that it is important that on that, when the day of your visitation comes, you must not be unaware of it. You must not be ignorant of it. Just say, at least in this your day, if you have known what pertains to your peace, what will make for your peace, you should have done that. So the first thing I noted is that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, there was one thing that was important. They were all with one accord in one place. Now, if God, in that is important, that we need to take note of, if by the grace of God we will maximize what God is saying, please check if it is easy. Aha. What God is going to demand from us? One accord. One accord. Please take note of that very critically. In this new day that God is demanding, releasing to us, for us not to waste it, for us not to scatter it, there is need for unity of our hearts. They were with one accord in one place. I do not want to emphasize one place for now. I want to emphasize the fact that for God to move, for his power not to be truncated, what God has been wanting to work on our lives for all the years, they were with one accord in one place. Now, that one accord is a critical requirement for us not to waste the move of God. Several move of God have scattered because at the point that we God wanted to move, the devil sponsored disunity into the midst of the people that were supposed to carry the fire. When you think that it is revival that causes people to break and to start different ministry and to break away and to stop working together, it is not. The revival does not come to scatter the brethren in terms of oneness. This new day is not meant to bring discord. They were with one accord in one place. Now, I want you to mark that before I go because it's very important. Now, when you go to chapter 2, all of you, please follow me to chapter 2. And I want you to see verse 46, the Bible said, and they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily as such as should be saved. So let's again note that they continued daily with one accord. Brothers and sisters, let me say very frankly, most of the revivals that came and scattered and did not achieve the purpose of God, one of the critical things that destroyed it is discord, is lack of oneness, lack of unity. They are not with one accord. Permit me to say that even though God will use us diversely, diversity of use, diversity of oppression ought never to bring discord in our midst. Diversities and increase of the work, increase of our growth is not a reason for us to become discordant, to lose the one accord. And this is a very critical matter that the Holy Spirit will want me to emphasize to all of you and all those who listen to me. The move of God will only be carried and carried to his fullness when we dwell together with one accord. Now, in chapter 4, Lord, and I want all of you to come with me to chapter 4, again in verse 32, it said, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that all of the things which he possessed was his own, but they all had things common. I don't know how God is going to help each one of you to understand that the new dawn demands that we must be with one accord. He said, the multitude, and that's very interesting for me to inform you that the multitude of them, they are not just few again. They are not just the 120. They are not just the 12 apostles that they knew themselves and they understood one another. But the Bible said the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. No one was claiming anything as of his own. No one was putting a label on anybody. No one is saying, this is from this place, this is from this place, this belongs to us, this does not belong to us, all of that kind of divisive spirit will kill this new day. May God not allow it to happen in our midst in the name of Jesus Christ. So let me tell you that multitude, increase in number, is not a reason for discord. Growth and enlargement is not a reason for us not to be of one heart and one soul. The manifestation of the grace of God that came upon all of them, and the great power with which they gave the witness of resurrection, and the great grace that was upon them, and the miracles that came to them, was not a reason at all for them to be of discord. The Bible said, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Now, I want you to note a word there in verse 32, because that's the first issue that God is asking me to emphasize this morning. That our response unto the new day demands that we must be of one accord. The Bible said, they were of one heart and of one soul. So the first thing I saw is that discord usually begins with divided hearts. If your heart is no more focused on our central focus, which is Christ Jesus and Him crucified, if your heart is no more bound around Christ and Him crucified, and you begin to have some other desire, some other private ambition to become something, or to be known otherwise, or to have a clique around yourself, you will inadvertently destroy this new day. May God protect this that is beginning to do in our midst, even by His own Spirit, in the name of Jesus. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own. Possessiveness was not allowed in their midst, so that day was not scattered. Possessiveness even of disciples. Nobody was possessing a disciple and said, this is my own. I'm the one who preached. I'm the one who raised him up. I'm the one who did something. No. They were willing to be of one accord. And you will see that in the way God was moving in their midst. Even though they broke bread from house to house, even though Peter may not have to be everywhere, yet their hearts are the same. They have one heart, they have one soul, they have one purpose of what God wants them to do. So as the new day is breaking forth, I need to call upon each one of you that want to be part of this move, this global move, this unstoppable move that God is declaring to us, that it is important and it is incumbent upon us to walk towards one accord. Whatever it will cost us, we must walk at one accord. It may not be possible that we will all be in one locality at a time, but wherever we are, we must have one heart, must be of one soul. None must begin to claim anything for himself. Even when God had used you to do something wonderful somewhere, it does not belong to you. It does not separate you. It does not make you different from us. It does not He does not make you a possessor of one thing or the other. The Bible said all of them. And because of that, they had all things common. Now, in the Old King James, it didn't say they had all things in common. It is not the matter of having all things in uniform. No. It is that they had all things common. What's the meaning of that? It means that whatever anybody has, it is commonly possessed by all of us. Any facility that anybody has, it belongs to all of us. Any wisdom, any technical knowledge that anybody has, you are willing to make it available to all of us. Nobody was trying to make a name with the move of God. Nobody was trying to become big. Nobody was trying to build a status with the move of God. Even when they were thinking, when the people rush at them and say, oh, this is, they wanted to worship some of the leaders. Peter said, why are you looking at us? As if it is by our power, of our holiness, that this man has is standing before you whole. It's not. It's that same Jesus that God came to glorify. Now, at this early point of the outbreak that God is bringing to us, which we cannot stop again, we need to keep praying and working at it in each of our hearts that we will be of one accord, that none of us will find a reason to separate, to begin to say, this one belongs to me. This one belongs to me. This one belongs to me. We have to deal with that quickly. That idea of, oh, this one comes from here. This one comes from here. We are here, we are there, and we are not able to flow with the brethren wherever God is moving. Wherever God is doing something. We may be multitude now. And we may have to stand in different places because of the great need, of the great outburst that God is bringing. Yet, we must be deliberate not to allow all of that to bring discord in our midst, in our relationship. They were with one accord. Now, I would like you to again see in chapter 5. In chapter 5, look at what chapter 5 says. Even when a man like Ananias and Sapphira decided to misbehave, and they connive with themselves to keep certain things part. Certain things behind with themselves, which nobody was forcing them to bring anyway. The Bible noted that as Peter spoke, spiritual discipline came upon them, and the man died, and the wife also died. And there was nothing. Now, I want you now to look at the word of God in verse 11 and verse 12 again. It's very important that I need to keep noting that for this morning. He said, and great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all, again with what? With one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest, thus no man joined himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women, in so much that they brought forth the sick into the streets, and lay them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. And there came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, everyone. So what am I noting here now? Again, they were with one accord. Let us quickly note that what characterized that response to the new dawn that came to them was unity of heart, unity of soul, and unity of purpose, unity of focus. They were with one accord. See, from where I've been tracing their one accord from chapter 2, as soon as the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were with one accord. Even when Peter stood up to speak, he stood up, the rest of the 11 were standing with him. They were not blowing different trumpets. No one was struggling and saying, now is my time to show that I'm also there. No. This revival is not to promote any one of us. This revival is not to make any of us great. This revival is to capitalize Christ Jesus, to centralize Christ Jesus, to glorify Christ Jesus, and to make Jesus Christ prominent and preeminent. One of the critical features of this revival, it is that it is not going to be about personality cults. It's not going to be loyalty cults. We are going to point men to Christ. He will increase. We will continue to decrease. That is what this particular revival is going to work at, with one accord. Now, permit me to spend time on this still, because it is critical for us. It's critical, and I want all of you this morning, that's what I want to spend time on, so that we can pray together, so that this new dawn does not end in empty noise, and it does not litter the ground with denominationalism. Even if that denominationalism is called discipleships, we have to be deliberate, we have to be careful, so that what God wants to do in our midst, God is able to accomplish it. Anyone that is trying to break away or trying to do something to be different, you are enjoying the body of Christ and you are enjoying the move of God. Now, let's quickly look at scriptures. Very quickly. Okay. Now, chapter 11 of Genesis. I want you all to look at that. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar and dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime and they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And these they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth. And from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. Now, I want you to please take a little time to look at that scripture. And incidentally, this scripture is the other side of Acts chapter 2. When God came back in Acts chapter 2, people from different languages, different lands, all other nations under the earth, they were brought together again. And they were all speaking one thing. They were giving glory to God, even though in their diverse languages. But look at what God wanted to accomplish. The Bible said, the people, the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there and see their plan. They said to one another, go to, let us make brick, let us burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime, and they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build up a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad. Now, they are proposed to do something that is contrary to the will of God. The will of God is that they should feed the earth, they should replenish it, they should scatter abroad and establish the kingdom of God everywhere. That was the commission that God gave Noah again. Unfortunately, at this point, they were going to do something contrary to the will of God. But now look at the Bible. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower with the children of men builded. And what did God say? That's what is very critical for me to look at now. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one. And they have all one language. This they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them. This is God talking. That when people have one language, one heart, one purpose, one focus, and they decide to do one thing together, even if they were doing it contrary to the will of God, the word of God says, this that they begin to do shall not be restrained from them. He said, nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do, because they have one purpose, because they have one language, because they are one people. And so God himself said, as long as these people are united, as long as these people are with one language, as long as these people are standing together, nothing they begin to do will be restrained from them. And for God to be able to stop them, the only thing he had to do is to confuse their language. So which means, where there is unitedness, where there is one accord, particularly if it is in the direction of the will of God, if it is in the direction of the purpose of God, whatsoever we begin to do shall not be restrained from us. But can you imagine that this is how God looks at the one accord? This is how God considers the unity of his people. This is how God places premium on their oneness. And if oneness is not going to be our goal, our pursuit, even with this new dawn, we will have wasted the anointing. We will have wasted the day of our visitation. We will have made it again to litter the place with empty erosion. And then there will be confusion, there will be false doctrine. there will be misrepresentation of the purpose of God. May God forbid that having labored on our lives, dealing with Mr. Flesh, that is always the basis of disunity in the midst of people, God forbid that any one of us will rise with another ambition to be calling something his own and to be standing apart and be pulling away disciples after themselves or claiming something for themselves. This is not about any of us. This is about Jesus. This is what God wants to do. This is why it is going to break forth into denominations. All different denominations, this thing will flow into them. It will belong to them. We are not going to claim anything for ourselves about this. Now, this is a very critical matter. Now, I want you to see two things furthermore. Even for God to stop men who are doing something wrong, unless he scatters their language, unless he breaks their one accord, it could not be done. God himself cannot work against unity. When people are united, there's nothing they begin to do that anybody can restrain from them, not even God. This is what the Bible says here. Now, go with me. Go with me quickly again to Psalm 133. Now, why am I spending time on this? I want you to note that the new dawn that we are talking about, when it came to the apostles, the only way for them to be able to maximize it, and it became a mighty move, and it spread everywhere, and nobody could stop them, was because they came with one accord. They stood with one accord. They spoke with one accord. They are all of one heart and of one soul, even though they have become a multitude. So let me inform you that it is not increase of numbers that gives room for division. It is not increase of numbers that makes discord. It is something else. And that scripture says they were of one heart. Which means when your heart is not, again, congruent with the will of God, when there's something secretly in your own heart that you are nursing, and you are nursing it because you want to make a name for yourself, because you want to stand on your own, because you want to claim something that this one is my own, this disciple is my own, this one is my own, you are going to injure the move of God. You are going to cause the purpose of God to become derailed, and that will be very unfortunate. Let it not happen in our lifetime. Let it not happen in our day, in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, look at what Psalm 133 says, which all of you know, and I know you normally quote it. But it is time for me now to read it back. Because once we talk about the new dawn, the Holy Spirit is beginning now to speak very clearly that, yes, I have decided to move again. I have decided to show my glory. I have decided to manifest my power. I have decided to manifest all that I've spoken about. But it can only be in the context of oneness, in the context of one accord. Now, I'll tell you what we have to do, no matter what it will cost, so that we don't spoil what God is about doing. We don't scatter what God is about doing. And we don't put the hand of the flesh to contaminate this move that God is bringing about now. He said, behold, how good and pleasant and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the bed, even Aaron's bed, that went down to the skirts of his garment. As the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded blessing, even life forevermore. Now, if I have all my time, I will have settled down to begin to look at these issues. Said, how good and how pleasant. If I were to change that, say, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Now, if you now change it and say, in disunity, it will be, behold, how terrible, how unpleasant, how difficult it is for brethren to dwell together in disunity. Whereas, when they are together, it says it is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the bed, even Aaron's bed. You know, it shows a flow. It shows a circuit of blessing. It shows untruncated flow of anointing. That every part of the body, from the head, from our head, the Lord Jesus, it flows down, even to the skirt. That means every one of us, no matter how little you are, this same anointing will flow to you. And whatever you do, it will carry the same power. The same power will be following even the least of our brothers and sisters when they dwell together in unity. There, the Lord commands blessing. Anybody who is working for discord, anybody who is pulling apart, anybody who is speaking quietly and causing gossip and creating division in the heart, that man is the enemy of this new dawn. That man is the enemy of the move of God. That man is injurious. You don't need to go and fornicate before you become injurious. You only need to create discord and disunity among the brethren. Then you are injurious to the move. You are injurious to the new day. You are injurious to what God wants to achieve. The idea of my ministry, my book, my program, my this, has to be buried. It's not about my mind. He said, no one claim anything as of his own. They have all things common. You must agree to know that there will be no demarcation in this move. This river that God is releasing now, nobody should dam it. Nobody should do anything to create dams and to create labels. When you do that, you become injurious to the move of God. Don't allow yourself, your self-ambition, your self-desire, your self-aggrandizement, your self-achievement, your desire to prove that you have now become something. This move is not to establish status. This move is not to establish personal status. This move of God is to capitalize, I say, Jesus. Is to centralize Jesus. Is to glorify and magnify Jesus. It will say nothing else but Jesus. And all of us, we will only decrease while Jesus will increase everywhere. Where Jesus will be heard, will be known, will be seen, will be exalted. The song we sang over and over and over again need to be repeated again. Not I, but Christ. And you see, we have it in our program again today. Not I, but Christ. Be seen, be known, be heard, be exalted. Now, he said, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded a blessing, even life forevermore. So when the apostles realized that this now is the day of Pentecost is now fully come, you know what they did? The Bible says, with one accord, they were with one accord in one place. They began to pray with one accord. They began to stay with one accord. from that chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, up to chapter 5, they were with one accord. Nothing could come between them. Those who tried to bring division by their own private, discordant life, like Ananias and Sapphira, God dealt with them. God took them out. God took them out so that they will not introduce that kind of double life, double mouth, double standard. God took them out so that the move of God may be preserved. Now, I want you to read one more scripture because this is very important if we are responding to God properly particularly this morning. I will have been talking about many things we will do. God will give us opportunity to do that. But in this particular moment, this new dawn requires the one accord of the brethren, of the disciples that will carry the fire. Wherever you stood, wherever, whosoever God used to raise you up, is no more the matter now. It's not important. The important is that the reason why God was preparing you has now come. The reason why you are recruited as a disciple has now come. The reason why some of us left our job and we came on full-time staff to serve God, that's the reason now. It has now come. The purpose why God proposed to bring us into this at this time, why some of us did not have titles and we refused to have titles, has now come. And this must not be injured. Now, I want you to go with me to Luke chapter 11 and see Jesus. This is Jesus speaking. Because it's critical and that's very important for us. Now, in Luke 11, all of you, if you go there, verse 14, please. And he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb, and it came to pass. When the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. But some of them said, he cast out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. And others tempting him sought of him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, and what he said is what matters to me here. It's not even about the devil he cast out. It's not about what the people are saying. But what Jesus now proceeded to say is the issue here. And I want you to mark that now. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom. All of you, please mark the word of God. Every kingdom, not many kingdoms, not some kingdom, not most kingdoms. He said, every kingdom, without exception, divided against itself, is brought to desolation. And a house divided against a house falls. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub. And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor, wherein he trusted, and divided his spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me is scattered. Now, I think I can stop there. Maybe I can just finish reading what he said before I draw the issues. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. He says, I will return unto my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth his sweat and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to himself, serving other spirit more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. What were the issues that Jesus was raising here that is very important? Now, he said, every kingdom, without exception, whether it's the kingdom of Satan or the kingdom of God, please hear me very well. Every kingdom that is divided against itself is brought to desolation. One of the things I would like you to note is that whenever there is a division, a disunity, a discord in the midst of any kingdom, the Bible says every kingdom that is divided against itself is brought to desolation. And a house divided against itself, a house divided against a house, falls. It is for every kingdom. Even the kingdom of Jesus Christ is not exempted in this matter. So, what you don't know is that the spirit of division, or what you call denominationalism, is an investment of Satan to stop the move of God. God has given several days when he came to move. But as soon as people begin to divide it with their knives, as soon as they begin to divide it by their names, as soon as they begin to say, this is from here, this is this one, this is that name, this is that name, they are deciding to bring that great move onto desolation. Every house that is divided against a house falls. You can't grow. It can't be built. So Satan himself, if he has been divided against himself, his kingdom should have fallen long ago. So I want you to know that the reason why Satan is still growing stronger is not because he has power, but because he has learned the secret of unity, the secret of oneness. There is no demon you see anywhere who is attacking another demon. If a demon is occupying a place here and you came and check him out, do you know what that demon will do? He will go around. If he couldn't find another house to stay, he will go and mobilize 7 stronger demons and say, excuse me, there's a problem I'm having this side. Can you come and assist me? 7 of them will gather together to go and fight and take that place back. That's what demons do. But I don't see believers doing that. I don't see children of God doing that. If a brother having problem with his ministry and he opens his mouth and says there's something, I see brethren go there to capitalize on his failure, capitalize on his weakness, and take over his members and claim that their church is growing. That's why the kingdom of God has suffered. Now, this new day that God is bringing, we have to deal with this now. And all of you hearing me, I thank God that we are able to sit down in different parts of the country and in other nations. And some of you are just in your private places listening to what the Holy Ghost has to say now. This new dawn demands one accord. Every kingdom, including the kingdom of God, that is divided against itself, can only be brought into desolation. And all of you can see all the desolation that has come to the church, all the desolation that has come to us in politics. Can you imagine that we are so many in several of the states, but because of disunity, because of lack of one accord, we cannot excel. Cannot excel. It is not because the opponents are stronger by power or anything. That's not what it is. Not that they are more educated. It's not that they are more intelligent. It is not intelligence. It is not money. It is not energy that makes you to fail. It's not because we don't have money. It's because every kingdom that is divided against itself, there's nothing he can do than to be brought down to desolation. There is nothing you can do with any kingdom that has broken itself into pieces. It has to come to desolation. My prayer is that this move that God has prepared and brought us into will not be brought into desolation because of division, because of discord, because of lack of one accord. Now, the disciples, when they saw that, this is that which Joel spoke about. This is what Jesus said we should wait for by all means. When they saw that that is it, they knew that the only thing to do is to stand together. When Peter stood up and said, men and brethren, these people are not drunk. Did you see the Bible say he stood with 11, standing with him? They were standing together. One man is speaking, but 11 are standing around him. All of us don't have to be speaking, but all of us have to stand together. It is not until you give your own message. No. That's not what we are talking about. Even if God appoints one as our spokesman who speaks all the time, we are all standing with him because whatever is coming out, it does not belong to him. It belongs to us all. It is not for him. It's for us all. They have all things that common. Not that they have things in common. It's not that they all have the same dress. It's not that they all have the same uniform. No. But whatever you have, whatever I have, it's all of us. We have it common. We commonly own all. And Jesus said, and he gave that illustration, which is very touching, that if Satan also is divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? You are making a mistake to say a Beelzebub was used to cast out another demon. No! No matter how powerful Beelzebub is, and no matter how weak another demon is, Beelzebub will not come and cast out that small demon because he is weak. He does not use power to overrun the weak demon. He knows that if I do that, our kingdom will soon scatter. Now, let me inform you. We don't use position. We don't use age. We don't use experience. We don't use our opportunity in serving God to downgrade, to put down another brother. If we do that, this kingdom will come to desolation. Satan doesn't do that. Why should the children of God do it? Why are you so quick to quench the smoking flask simply because it is troubling your eyes? And say, let him go. Let him go anywhere he likes. Let him go. We don't need him here. How can you divide our Father's kingdom like that? What do you think you are doing? You are injuring the body. And you are bringing injury to this move. And you are going to bring it to desolation. Let it not be on your account that this move will be brought to desolation in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, he now gave that illustration that I wanted to mark. How is it that the devil has maintained his kingdom over the years? How is it that it looks as if, despite all that Jesus did on the cross, despite that Satan has lost power on the cross, why is Satan still moving up and down like this? It's simply for one reason. He has learned the secret of one accord with all his demons. He has learned the secret of how to stand and stand together. And I'm saying to you, look at this now. He said, when a stronger armed keepeth his palace and his goods are in peace. For when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor, wherein he trusted, and divided the spoil. Now, when the unclean spirit is gone out, verse 24, of a man, and he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and finding none, he says, I will return to my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, and he finds it sweat and garnish, then he goes, then goeth it, and taketh to himself other spirits more wicked than himself. Now, I want you to see that. See the cooperation in the kingdom of darkness. Can you imagine that here is a young demon? For me, to you like that. I don't know how young a demon can be. But now, a young demon, he has faced a challenge. And a stronger than he came and cast it out, even if it's in the name of Jesus. What does that demon do? He goes round and round and round looking for where he can stand. When there's none, he goes to the council of all the senior demons. Demons that are more wicked than himself. And he says to them, he says, sir, you are my seniors. I have a problem where I was staying. They ejected me in the name of Jesus Christ. And I've been trying to find somewhere. I don't know where to stay. So I just came that I know that you will do something. So they all say, what? What happened? What happened? Where is that place? Let's go and check. Go and check whether the place is occupied or not. So he quickly came and found that the place is neatly garnished, well swept, everything's rearranged, everything's okay, but not fully occupied. He came back and said, the place is neatly arranged, but I don't know. So okay, let's go together. Seven stronger demons. They will join one small demon to go and defend a space. Seven. Does that happen in our own kingdom? You can see why we are shouting and we are not making it. You can see why many of us are sweating and yet we are losing out. Now, a new dawn has come. And with this new dawn, what does God want us to do? God is requiring that we understand that it is not energy. It is not money. It is not big organization. It is that all of us, wherever you are located, you are going to ask God, please give me the spirit of one accord. I want to be one with the brethren. I don't care what church they belong to. I don't care which discipleship class they go. I don't care which disciple, whose disciple one is or the other. That's not important. What matters is that, are they a child of God? Is he carrying Christ? Is he a disciple of Jesus? They say, yes, now I'm for him. If he's sick, you don't need to say, who is his disciple before you go and visit him? If he is in trouble, you don't say, which fellowship, which discipleship class does he go before you mobilize stronger brothers to go and defend him? You don't do that. All this name calling, this labeling, this one is from that, this one is from that, has to finish with this new dawn. We are going to enter into an agreement before God before we end this meeting to say, Father, this new dawn must not be wasted. We must not enter into darkness again. The kingdom of God must not be brought into desolation. God has worked over the years to give us an open door, to give us opportunity, to open the heart of the church to us. God is doing a new thing now. Let nobody out of personal ambition, nobody out of a desire to make a name. When we are building in all the conference centers that God allowed us to build, we saw that they are only facilities for the body of Christ. They are only facilities to facilitate the move of God. We are not building them to make it an empire. We are not building them to possess them. We're building them so that when the body of Christ will come, they will have a place, they will need it. And they can use it freely, because freely are we received, and freely must we give. Now, it said, when that unclean spirit has gone out, he says, I will return unto my house when I came out. And when he saw it, he finds it sweat and gathered, garnished. He goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Why? Because demons are united. Supposing when the demons came, they find seven stronger brothers occupying the place and standing with the brother. Can they push them out? Now, I said, if this the young man that God delivered, if seven stronger brothers and sisters were together with him, will it be possible for those demons to come and overpower them with the name of Jesus in their lives? He said, a double-fold cord, a three-fold cord cannot be easily broken. But when we decide to walk alone, when we decide to disunite, sometimes we speak about unity in our mouth, but our heart is divided. We are divided along ethnic groups. We are divided along who is our hero in preaching. We are divided along who is the man of God over your head. We are divided along and for Paul and for Paul and for Apollo and for this and for Aquila and all of that. This new dawn must not allow that. When that kind of disunity came to Corinthians, you can see that the Corinthian church was not a glorious church. You can see that all manner of evil was in their midst, because they are hiding in between. Sometimes for Peter, so you don't need to talk to me. When your own master Paul come, let him talk to you. So they are hiding under personalities to misbehave. We must not allow that. And we need to look at how to make sure that this new dawn is not wasted again. Now, let me go away from there. I'm very conscious that our time will soon be finished. But let me go on from there, because we're going to pray. Now, I want you to now look at Jesus at the end of his ministry in John 17 and see what characterized his prayer. What was he praying about? Can you all follow me? Would you like to come with me? John chapter 17. John 17. And I want you to look at verse 20, verse 21, verse 22, and verse 23. He said, neither pray I for this alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Listen now. Some of you think that it is shouting that will make the world to believe that Jesus had been sent by God. But look at what he said. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in you. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. So, brothers and sisters, take note of this.
This was the cry of Jesus when he was leaving. This was what God was going to answer on the day of Pentecost for them. This is what is going to bring the glory. Said, the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. So that, so you see, the glory of God coming upon us, it's not that we will be divided and be doing things differently, so that they may be one, even as we are one. So that they may be one. Then the whole world, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. This is the will of God for us. So I want to say again, as we are breaking forth into this new day, that the new dawn demands and requires one accord. It is this that we spread it. It is this that we cause it to become a great move. Whosoever went to Cameroon is not the matter. Whosoever went to Uganda is not the issue. What matters is that God is moving into those nations. And all those that God is adding, one way or the other, into the different nations, once we get there, we know that we are here to do one thing and we're going to be one. We may not be able to sit down and say, okay, all organizations collapse into one. But our spirit, our oneness, must transcend organization, must transcend groupings, must transcend who did what, who didn't do what. Now, can I put it to you as I stop to ask you to pray? That this accord is what God is looking for to command his blessing. When God has not seen it, he cannot command blessing. He cannot bless disunity. God cannot promote disunity because that kingdom will come to desolation. God don't invest. He wouldn't invest in desolation. And even if God invested in us and we begin to disunite and enter into discord, whatever he has given will be withdrawn. We are going to struggle until we kill ourselves. So this morning, you may wonder, this thing that Brother Gwile is saying, is it not to be talking to our leaders? No. Each one of you sitting before me here, I hope you know that you are very crucial in what God is saying. Say, the multitude of them that believe were of one heart and of one soul. None of them claim anything for himself. And none of them goes behind and say, look, sir, I am for you, I'm for you. None of them, his brother said this, this sister said this about this. What were you doing when you are hearing that? Do you not know that you are yourself injurious to the move of God? Do you not know that you are the one creating confusion and division? And the Lord hates it. So this moment, as you are going to pray, you are going to say to God, concerning this move, I commit myself to be with one accord with all the brethren. This move of God cannot separate into parties anymore. This move of God, I said to you, is going to, you know, flow into all the denominations, and they will not know which denomination again. They will just know that these are brothers and sisters. You will see Anglican bishop, they will be part of this move as God has already started it. Some of you may have seen how God is moving with the clergy, with their wives, and all that we have been doing, the couples retreat, whatever it is. You see that God is breaking barriers. Don't go and erect another. God is breaking all the human built-ups. Don't go and erect another. Don't even think that your doctrine is strong enough to be a rationale for dividing the body of Christ. What God wants to do in our midst, requires that we will all flow together. As I stop here, I want you to join me to pray. The response to that new dawn, when the apostles saw it, was this. By the time they came to chapter 6 and the devil wanted to introduce division because of material things, like this one had more than this one had more than this, the brethren stood up and said, no, it's not good for us. It's better for us to devote ourselves to prayer and ministry of the word. And you know what that happens, that they chose brothers who can handle the matter, and the issues was resolved. And the Bible said the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. God was working in their midst. Would you like to pray with me this morning and say, Father, we receive this new dawn and we want to trust you that we will not spoil it by spirit of tribalism, by the spirit of competition, by the spirit of personal pursuit, of personal fame, personal possession, personal identity, anything that is of self, we will not allow it. I want you to stand up as we pray together on this before you will be breaking to your Bible study. Shall we stand up wherever you are, if you can stand up, or if you are alone and you want to kneel down, I want you to pray and say, oh God, the prayer of Jesus for his church, for his disciples, that they may be one, let it be answered through me. Let me not bring injury to what you want to do now. Lord, break my heart. Cause the love of the brethren to flow in it. Cause the power of God to flow through me so that I can love the brethren. The Bible said, the one commandment I gave you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. There's no other means by which men will know that we are his disciples if we don't live in love, if we don't live in oneness, if we don't live in one accord, if we don't submit to one another, if we don't stand with one another to fight against the enemy. Can you pray? It will not be scattered in our hands. It will not be lost in our midst. Can you imagine that something we have prayed for years, God has now brought it. You can now see that different groups, different churches, different, they just want us to, they want to own what we are doing. They want to be part of it. It's time to release it to the body of Christ. It's time for us ourselves to belong to the body of Christ in every sense. Would you like to pray and say, Lord, this will not be spoiled again. This will not be destroyed. This will not be done according to the flesh again. Lord, have your way with us. As we are praying together, I want you to stretch forth your heart to God and say, bind us together, Lord. Bind us. Bind our heart together. Cause your face, O God, to come upon us. Command upon us a blessing. Let it flow from our head, even our high priest Jesus. And let it flow down through the beds. Let it get to the skirts. Let the least member of the body of Christ begin to experience this outflow of the anointing of the Holy Spirit that comes, that God commands, where he sees the brethren dwelling together in unity. Permit me to pray with you so quickly so that we can move. Father in heaven, wherever your children are, from Cameroon to Uganda to Kenya to some part in Europe, wherever we have gathered to listen to the word of God today, different parts of Nigeria and other places, I ask, Lord, that you will release the spirit of oneness, the spirit of one accord. Baptize us with that spirit, O God. baptize us, give us a baptism of love. Lord, I ask that you will cause us to arise in oneness. When we come back in the night and we are going to now talk about how do we arise into this new day. But Lord, you are saying our rising has to be with one accord. Baptize our heart now. And if there be people here, oh God, maybe they have root of bitterness in their hearts. Maybe someone has offended you and you have not given it up. Perhaps you are beginning to create cliques and say, this is our own. I want to ask you to repent here now. And say, Lord, I will not go out of this place with that kind of spirit. I want you, Lord, to baptize me into the spirit of oneness and love in the body of Christ. I want you to take away from me every complaint, every criticism. I will not agree with Satan to accuse the brethren. I will simply believe because love believes all things. Lord, help me. Please pray for yourself. And you may say, but I'm a small man. It's only one sister I don't like to talk to. Can you take a decision now to settle with that sister quickly so that you don't enjoy this move of God? There may be a brother that you thought didn't like you. Can you settle that matter now and say, Lord, I will not enjoy this move of God. I will not start something contrary to the purpose of God. I will not be fighting against brethren. Lord, help me to stand for you. Blessed be your name today, O God. I know you are going to do more than we are asking. As your children will go back into Bible study and to pray, I ask that you will speak more deeply. I plead with you, Lord, that this new dawn, this new day, this new move that you are bringing us into, let it not be scuttled. Let it not be brought into desolation. Deliver us, O God, and visit your church. Let your prayers over the brethren, let it be answered, that they may be one. Thank you for hearing our prayer. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen.